In Jesus' name, we will continue our services. And I'll read from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 44th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, it has been a joy, and it has been very touching even, to be here at these summer services. Last time I was here, in the front of the tent, last night, giving our communion, and from that place it is very easy to follow the communion guests from where I was serving communion, and it has been very touching. First of all, the very strong hymns and songs, as if a great sound of many waters here, the roar of waters here in the tent during communion, and also to see people faces and their bearing, that we are there at the foot of the cross of Christ, looking at his bloody wounds and his body, which had been given and flowed specifically on our behalf. It was also touching to see also this was able to make hearts move so that they would also wish to take care of those matters with their near ones and to ask for their own sins to be forgiven and to hear the gospel yet again before kneeling at the communion table. Today we are at this kind of a text where it's spoken of a treasure hid in the field, which is one of the parables of Jesus. That came from the 13th chapter of Matthew, where there are other parables. In the beginning of the chapter, there's the parable of the sower. Then there's the parable of the tares, which were sowed into the field. And then of how they should not be gathered out, but rather at the time of the harvest. And then there is about a parable of leaven, and then there's this one: is the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, and then of a precious pearl, or a pearl of great price, and then finally, a parable of the net, which gathered many fishes, and which were finally then separated, the good and the bad. This time, when Jesus spoke of this parable, the time at that point was a time when Jesus had sent his disciples to go and preach the gospel of kingdom two by two. And now he was going around in those same areas, and as if I could say, looking at those fields to see as if how the seed of faith had begun to grow. And from these parables, we can make make this kind of a observation that growth was very large. There was those who had happily taken that seed and they had started to grow, but then for some others, for other reasons, had forsaken or given up that joy of the finder and had left or were leaving their endeavor of faith. And now with these parables, he from different perspectives was enlightening the kingdom of God. Why did not Jesus directly speak and say that here is the kingdom of God and I am the king of it, and now hear me? Sure, he did speak even in this way, but also through these parables often. And somehow I understand in this way that these parables were such that through them we were able to approach and reach those hearts who had in one way or another been closed their ears or shut their ears and their thoughts. But through the parables, we were able to also get past these barriers and deep into the heart at that level where a person maybe does not knowingly know how to resist the message of the kingdom of God. For namely, at that time, there was, as it is now, there were people who had prejudices of the children of God and of children. When we spoke of the kingdom of God, there were many different kinds depending on the people, even as there is today. It feels there is, when we follow the media, there's such questions, and it sounds many times that these questions are as if leaving from in as if a prejudiced mind, that there's some kind of a conflict must be found in some way, and the question must be placed so that which is seen or that which comes forth is already as if shut off or well. This treasure hidden in the field enlightens the kingdom of God from that viewpoint. There's the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man found, he hid it. And for the joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Treasure hid in a field, and when a person found it, they did not just buy just that treasure, but they bought that field and everything, and with that field, that treasure. What was that treasure, and what was that field that had to be bought or purchased? Well, the treasure certainly is easier to understand. What is the most precious treasure? What is the most precious treasure for you? The most important and most precious. Even in that hymn is sung that Jesus, my precious treasure. And I'm sure other hymns are sung and they don't come to mind right now, But and here to this explanation come from the writings of Apostle Paul, for example, in the book to the Philippians, he tells of his own experience. And he tells of himself that he was in his zealousness a persecutor of the congregation, one who was without the law, was in the law lawless. But those that he had, he has everything is nothing, despite knowing his Lord Jesus Christ, through which everything is, he is kept, everything is poor, so that he could win Christ. That was that treasure. Even the apostle was ready to sell all that he had so that he could buy that field and also that treasure. And then of this field, in earlier sermons, their speaking turns, I remember they have been enlightened to this, if I remember correctly, in the morning, that Luther said that if you wish to find Christ, you should first find here on this earth those who believe, the throng that believes in Christ, and then in their midst Christ lives. So why was it a field in this parable? It is not told here, and we must just in some way think of it in this way, that a field is in this way valuable. And at that time, it was something, a tool of production which was valued. But in another sense, it is mud and earth or land. And when the apostle then pictures Christians, he says that you have this treasure. It means Christ in earthen vessels, which he means these, our worldly portion, our old portion, that which has been created from the dust of the earth. And in funerals, when they are being blessed into the grave, that from dust they say, dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt yet return. The Lord Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, shall awaken you on the last day. In this way, this treasure is hidden in God's kingdom, in God's congregation. And in its midst is this kind of a treasure which a person found. It is not a simple matter, or then it is a simple matter, finding it. When it is namely hidden. And why is it hidden? And from who is it hidden? It is hidden, first of all, from human eyes and from human understanding. Luther says, in his explanation of the third portion of the creed, that I believe I cannot of my own, my strength or understanding, come unto Jesus Christ or believe on him, but the Holy Spirit has to help me. When a person falls into sin in paradise, there was corrupted there the person's this humanly portion in such a way that we are not able to see the kingdom of God or to understand it. The apostle says of this that flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And for this reason, it is for people not just difficult, but an impossible matter to see and to find God's kingdom and its treasure, Christ. And for this reason also, for many in these questions that are timely of today, when these questions are focused on that field, can it in such a field be anything valuable? Or actually, kind of comes in this way, that it cannot be true that in such a field there could be such a valuable treasure as Christ, a Savior, a Redeemer. So it was also for my portion, when as a young student, I had for something I did not know from what got this kind of an understanding of the children of God and of the life of the child of God. That understanding went somehow in this way, that believers are so completely or totally serious in these matters that they try so seriously or completely to be, and maybe they are, to be perfect in their life, that there's no drop of joy or freedom. This is the kind of a picture had been born of the life of a child of God. And then, listen, when for a person who has this kind of an image in their mind, when to them comes from God's kingdom and from the children of God, this kind of an invitation that, why don't you also come? Come and see. Come and listen. Come and believe. And it certainly was a conflicting matter. First of all, I did not even have any inclination to even be obedient to that invitation. I just thought that it was just some person's invitation that I don't need to care about it. I had more important for me was this, that I myself could decide and to find, and to understand, and to believe. That I myself could be on a level with this matter, balanced in this matter, that how do I live, and how do I enjoy life, and what portion of it would be perhaps such that would be acceptable or pertain to the life of faith. First time I was in the old church in Helsinki in services, when there that we were preparing for the Holy Communion of our Lord. Next to me sat a young couple, and I heard in my own ears how they said one to another, that can I believe my own sins forgiven? And that spouse then replied, you can believe in Jesus' name and blood, and then the other way. My ears had never before heard the sound of the gospel. It sounded as if there has to be a happy married couple, they can ask from each other and give to each other. their sins forgiven as empowered by Jesus. And then the other time when I was going to services was when I began already to be as if one step forward from that viewpoint that it cannot be possible. Perhaps already in that place that could it be possible when I listened again to a service sermon. And then it sounded as if a sermon of an apostle. Perhaps it was biblical, and I'm sure it was. But my heart had opened enough so that they opened these kinds of viewpoints. And that which grabbed my attention was there in the midst of that congregation, service guests, there were some that lifted up their hands, some even stood up, and the minister to them personally proclaimed the gospel that in Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. And then the speaker said in this way, if there is someone who would wish to believe all their sins forgiven, you can believe this gospel. Here we were at such a theological question as in making of repentance. That can a person feels their sin and is scared and fearful of because of their sins, and then also wishes to believe the gospel and their sins forgiven, and third, that after that follows the repentance of life, which is leaving of sin. I did not know then, and I could have never been able to say that I had this first portion going, that I had this awakening of sin onto my sins. But that much I remember of my feeling, that I did not have a feeling of peace. Something was missing from my life. I was seeking that. I could have probably been able to see of myself at that time, but at least this, that peace was missing, and joy and righteousness from my heart. And that is exactly what the kingdom of God is, as the apostle says. And then when the services were over, and I saw how, in my own mind, those who had already been assigned, as if that they had been, that from their faces could not be seen any joy or smiling or freedom, when they rose up and began to greet one another with God's peace. And just think, that were they happy? Did they seem like they were free? And guess, that was my mind wondering, that could this be true? Could this be so, that these people, in their hearts, is righteousness, peace, and joy? And it is seen in this way, even outwardly, that as a visitor from the coming to the services, that these are joyful and free and righteous people, despite everything. Well, then, of course, there came dear friends and brothers who spoke and asked that, with what kind of a mind have you come to services? And when I told that I've seriously come, then they, after a short discussion, asked that, do you want to believe all your sins forgiven? Yes, I wanted to. I knew that something was missing. Here was something that they had to offer. This looked like something that I wanted. And I said, yes, I want to. The brothers preached, in Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. And they asked, how does it feel? At that moment, I did not feel nothing. But that same evening, I remember, when I went to go to bed, and when normally it had belonged the evening prayer to when going to bed, and sometimes I as if noticed that, startled myself that I did not remember to pray, that now I had to pray. Now when my sins were forgiven and peace with God, completely by grace, it felt as if would I pray or not, then I can go peacefully to my evening's rest. And it also felt in this way, that as if a person who has been lost for a long time has finally found their home. That righteousness, joy, and peace in my heart that even I, probably as a child, had been able to experience in my inside of me. Well, this field means also this, that this treasure is hidden in earthen vessels also in this sense, that we children of God are sinful people. In us there is this portion of flesh which has not made repentance. We are of two parts in that sense. And the apostle says that if you kill the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit, then you can live. Endeavoring in faith is putting away sin and believing every day as evil, righteous, or as evil, good, and as sinful, righteous. This sinfulness is not without, cannot be without being seen outwardly. Certainly from us can be found faults, even though we would wish to be honest with ourselves and to confess them before man and God and to make repentance. But for such a one who wishes of these to make a barrier, then I'm sure there will be reasons be found. And so also Jesus says that in the gospel is told how Jesus came into his midst of his own, but his own received him not, but those which did receive him, he gave them the power of God to become children of God. And now if we come back to the Luther's explanation of the third portion of the creed, that I believe that I cannot of my own mind or my own reason come unto Jesus Christ or believe on him. And then to that teaching of repentance, that there is a penitence of sin, believing the gospel, and the changing of life, in this way, in this living of life, it can be happen. And I'm sure this daily happens for a child of God, that when sin attaches and makes us slow, that does not always even notice or even understand what is wrong. It might be a feeling of peaceless without restlessness or tension with the near ones. But then when we can discuss it, and then when we are asked for the light of the Holy Spirit there, it might become enlightened, this, that I was here wrong. And there can happen what happened also in that old church, that young couple, that can I believe my own sins forgiven and believe in the gospel. This time is, I am sure, the same as it was then there in Galilee, where the enemy of souls did his work, and that sowing, which the disciples and Jesus had done, brought much fruit. Different kinds of fruit. There was those who believed and rejoiced. There were those who were battling, or there were those who rejected and resisted. Even the enemy of souls does work, his work today inside of his God's kingdom. Even this day, there's reason to ask these same questions. Is the matter of faith, is Christ a precious treasure, which when having been found, you are ready to sell all that you have and to buy that field? Or is some other matter come so precious that you no longer have enough or are able to give up of it? Would it be an inward or an outward matter, so that it would come and mess up this treasure, the brightness and value of this treasure hidden in a field? At these questions, it pays, even today, when this world can bring forth much of its treasure, such kinds of disposable or failing treasures. We should ask ourselves and our near ones, that is today. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the matter of believing, such a matter in my life that is a precious treasure, that above or past no other matter in my life can go. So we can to this day remain yet believing. And my dear brother and sister, you can believe in Jesus' name and blood, all sins and temptations forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. The minister is preaching the gospel to those in the congregation who ask. And I ask now, just as that dear service brother asked 40 years ago. The service is in Helsinki. If there is one here who is seeking and wishes in their heart to find that joy, that peace, and righteousness that you see with your faces and with your goings on with other believers even today, then be encouraged to believe even from this sermon. All your sins and unbelief forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. Be blessed and secure. God has been able to open your eyes to find treasure from the field, then it could be that you are ready to sell all that you have and to hold this treasure as the most precious matter in your life. Can I yet believe all my sins and doubts forgiven? I wish to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.